Luke 10, beginning with the 25th verse. And this is coming from the Message. Just then, a religious scholar stood up with a question to test Jesus. Teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life? And Jesus answered, what's written in God's law? How do you interpret it? And the scholar said, that you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer, muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as yourself. Good answer, Jesus said. Do that, and you will live. And looking for a loophole, the scholar said, and just how would you define neighbor? Jesus answered by telling a story. There was once a person traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and on the way they were attacked by robbers. They took the clothes, beat this person up, went off, leaving them half dead. Luckily, a priest was on his way down the same road, but when he saw him, he angled to the other side. And then a Levite, a religious man, showed up. And he also avoided the injured man. Now there was a Samaritan traveling the road and came upon him. And when he saw the person's condition, his heart went out to this person. The Samaritan gave first aid, disinfecting and bandaged the wounds. And then the Samaritan lifted the person onto the donkey and led the donkey to an inn and made this person comfortable. In the morning, he took out 2 silver coins, gave it to the innkeeper, saying, take good care of him. If it costs any more, put it on my bill, and I will pay you on the way back. Now, what do you think? Which of the three became a neighbor to the one who was attacked by the robbers? Well, the one who treated him kindly, the religious scholar said. And Jesus said, go and do the same. There's not anything more scripturally than I could say. But you know I will. When we start thinking about Dallas, when we start thinking about Baton Rouge, when we think about Minneapolis, when we think about Orlando, when we think about the church in South Carolina, where people were killed while they were praying. This is where the answer starts, folks. And there's so much in here. You know, the first line that I kind of chuckled at was, you know, the line about how do you define a neighbor? I remember, you know, for most of you, you know, I umpire, right? And every once in a while, people really question the ball and strike zone, right? And I wish I could take credit for this, but I stole it from another umpire, but it worked out perfectly. I had a coach come out to me and said, Blue, you need to tell me the definition of a strike. At which point I looked at him and I said, when my right arm comes up. Amen? Amen. There was one time there was a man caught in a hole. It was a deep hole. And as he struggled to get out, he kept pulling more dirt on top of him. And one of the pastors from town, he was an evangelist, you know, he had those tent revival kind of meetings, come by, saw the man in the hole, and the man looked up at him and said, can you help me? Can you get me out of here? And the pastor looked down at him and he said, I'll pray for you, brother, and walked on. Well, a little later on, a priest comes by, sees the man down in the hole, and the man says, "Can you help me? Can you help me get out of this hole?" And the priest looked at him and said, "Well, if you'd have paid attention to the sign, you wouldn't have fallen in that hole. God bless you." And he walks on. Well, a little later on, a lawyer comes by. Don't you know what they had to say? "When you get out of that hole, here's my card. We'll sue the city." And this little old guy comes walking along, sees his friend. It's his best friend is in the hole. And he says, "Man, can you help me?" And he says, "Yeah, yeah, hang on." And he jumps into the hole. And the guy looks at him and goes, "Have you lost your mind? I wanted help getting out of the hole. Now there are two of us stuck." And the guy said, No. "Calm down. I've been in this hole. I know the way out." Calm down, folks. We are not going to let people drive us back into our homes. We have been in this hole before. Amen? Amen. We have lived in various dangerous times. Not even a century ago, if you were black in this country, you had to worry about swinging from a tree. If you were found on the wrong side of town, you had to be careful what you said to anybody on the street, much less a police officer. There was a time that when you spoke up on behalf of your rights, they turned on fire hoses and released dogs on you. This too shall pass. Martin Luther King jumped into that hole and told the community, "Don't panic. I know the way out." And the way out is that what Christ taught us. Love them until they can't do anything else. Love them until they can no longer do their harm. And that's hard, but it's right there. Because see, we're in danger. I want you to know, we don't understand today. When we read this story, we hear this story preached, we sit there and go, "Oh, the Samaritan." Okay? You know who the Samaritan is in the United States? Anybody want to take a guess?
Donald Trump?
Slap him! Well, we'll just let that one settle for a while. No, by the way. No, I tell you who the Samaritan is. It's your brother or sister who's a Muslim. It's your brother or sister who happens to be transgender. It is the black person who, because of the way that our laws are set up in this country, have a jail record that is not fair, not correct. The Samaritan in our country is the person who stops by the roadside, calls 911, or finds that 911 has been called. And when the police officer arrived to answer that 911 call, they were ambushed and shot and killed, and this person stops and administers CPR. CPR. The Samaritan at Jesus' time was definitely the outsider, the person that nobody wanted to pay attention to, the person that was not going to be okay with God. Think about that for a minute. When you listen to all those people who say, oh, well, you're homosexual, you're going to hell. Or you're transgender, you're ridiculing God. You've got mental health problems and you're just not doing enough work to get right. Think about that the next time you hear that, because that is the Samaritan, folks. And out of all the so-called goody-two-shoes, the people that knew what needed to be done, it was the Samaritan that stopped. Now, I know that some of you may be sitting here today going, hey, Pastor, what they did, we can't do today. Really? Really? You can bring materials for hygiene kits, can't you? You can make sure that when people are here, that they know they are welcome, that they know that their life is about celebration. You can make a phone call when somebody says that they're not feeling good. You can send a message. There are all kinds of things. You know, Jesus used to talk about this stuff. What is the word I'm looking for? Lance, help me. Hyperbole. Mm-hmm. You know, make it big and dramatic. Now, that's Donald Trump-like. Okay? We got this really big, huge Samaritan. And he had a really big mule. It was a good mule.
The best mule.
And it was a fast mule. It isn't about the story, folks. It's about what you're willing to do. And herein lies for me the difference. You know, because if you follow me on Facebook, I try to put out these little pearls of wisdom daily. And I've had one person with each of the little pearls that I put out this week has taken issue with me. On almost everyone. And I think it's because they're mad. They're angry. They're tired of feeling like they got a target on their back. And so this whole idea of quoting Martin Luther King, they're sitting there going, yeah, but that's never going to happen. And Jesus, he was about peace, wasn't he? Look what they did to him. Yeah, look what they did to him. And look what happened after that. The entire world changed. Yeah, it's serious stuff. When Jesus said to us that real love comes about when you are willing to lay down your life for your brother or your sister. You know, those police officers in Dallas, when the shooting began, they didn't run the other way. They ran straight in to the gunman that was trying to kill them. 9/11, the firemen, EMTs, and even civilians, some not leaving the building without their friends, and others running into. That, my friends, is Christianity. It's not sitting on the sideline and pointing fingers. If I hear one more person blame President Obama, I'm going to puke. It doesn't matter what your politics is. He's the President of the United States, and he does not control whether somebody is an idiot or not. Who controls you? See, and you have a choice today, because there are people in your life, even if you might be homeless, even if you might be in a shelter and you're not sure what the next 30 days is going to bring, you might be in the middle of studying for your degrees and you're not sure what you're going to do after that. The only thing that you are sure of is that you're going to be in debt for the next 40 years. You may have health issues that you don't know what is going to happen. But we all know people that's like this dude or this person that got the hell kicked out of them. It isn't just a matter that they were literally robbed. We know people that are struggling. And so this morning, you know people that are affected by the shootings. There are people in my community, our community, that know people down in Orlando. I told you a couple weeks ago that right after the Orlando shooting, that I took it upon myself with a couple other pastors, we went out. We tried to hit as many bars as we possibly could. And somebody sat there and said, well, Pastor, why'd you do that? Of course, you know, there are those people who don't think pastors belong in bars, okay? But those are the same people that would walk away from this guy on the side of the road. Do you hear me? So they said, what do you do? And I said, I got one simple statement. I'm out here to tell as many people as I possibly can and to make sure that people, as many people can see me as possible, that we're not afraid. That you are not going to stop us. That you are not going to make us go back to our house and sit in our little cave and go, oh my God, the world is ending. That is not what God called us to do. What God called us to do is when there's somebody on the side of the road and we have the ability to help, then do it. Now, if some people here want to sit there and go, now, Pastor, you know what? I haven't got that kind of money. I can't be paying. Well, I guess you could sit there with them till some help did come. I guess you could call for help. I guess you could find a way to make sure that that person in your life, like I said, that's not feeling good, that they hear from you. Folks, you have no idea how much a hug means. We had a person who just started coming to this church recently. And I may have mentioned this last week, but it got to my heart. They told me that the reason that they come back was because they felt welcomed here. And I looked at him and I kind of smiled and they said, no, I mean really welcome. Do you get that? Because that's what this story's about. If you want the answer, how do we get through this crap that we're going through? That's how you do it. And it starts with you. That's why we've got to accept that touch of our Savior, of God. That's the healing. It isn't our guilt, it is our shame that we hang on to when we buy into the rhetoric. And by the way, I will tell you, just so you know, that in this church, we're not advocating killing anybody. Hear me now. And yes, we are advocating forgiving everybody. Because as I've told you before, if you look at the cross, the first words of Jesus on the cross were what? God, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Brothers and sisters, the step to getting past this is to be able to look out into the world and simply say, God, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. God bless you.